Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. I am your host. As always, you can listen on the radio dial, 92.9 FM, 680 AM. If you're away from the radio, though, you can stay up to date with everything happening here at the station. You can stream live on the Odyssey app. You can even listen on demand on the Odyssey app. We're also streaming on the iHeartRadio app as well as the TuneIn Radio app. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on the Everything app at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good afternoon, Jeffrey. How's it going?
Good afternoon, indeed. My company, as he is each and every Tuesday on the program, he is, the host of VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast, VSiN's College Football Betting Tailgate Show, Saturdays, 8 a.m. Central Time. Check your local listings. You can also always see him as the host of VSiN Primetime, airing on weeknights. Download the VSiN Watch app on the Everything app at one Tim Murray. Tim, good day, sir.
Howdy, howdy. How are we doing here on this Tuesday? It's raining here in Vegas. It's weird.
Vegas and L.A. in the last whatever.
I know. It was pouring, as you saw in San Diego and in Los Angeles. We got all of that as well. It was pouring on us all day Saturday. It was very unusual. Not used to it.
Yeah, I wish you well, you know.
I sense some sarcasm
there. Listen, hey, the good news is you didn't have to go get a satellite dish because YouTube TV's back.
We're back, baby. We're back at the quad boxes going. Mm-hmm. All things were normal. We fought the good fight and we made it through. I don't know. All I know is my station is on YouTube TV, so it's a good day for
I love when it's like we fought the good fight. It's like I don't know if we did. I think Disney just had earnings calls and like the Wall Street reported they were losing like $38 million a week.
Seems like a weird one to battle.
Uh-huh. Well, it's about principle. Yeah, but hey, customer first. It's all about the customer.
But we made it through. We made it through, and it was an interesting weekend. It was a weekend where, I'm sure we'll dive into it, I found myself not happy about what unfolded for at least the team that I cheer for. So I'm very nervous. I'm not feeling great.
Yeah, we can talk about that.
About the rankings when they get revealed tonight.
I'll tell you this, you might be feeling better than my producer is right now.
Yeah, that's a weird one.
As his coach's family is taking private jets that could have easily been, you know, hidden. But
private jet season.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's that flight aware season.
It's not even that. How about now? It's just you get to see the TV crews that are covering it.
Did McAfee not even ask him about the Florida or LSU job? I didn't watch the interview today.
So I saw the tail end of it. He concluded, after he let Lane go, he said, obviously I could have asked him, are you going to be the coach at Ole Miss? next year, and he basically gave what the scripted answer would be, but he's like, there was no point in that. I do think you know what the score is when you are watching McAfee interviews.
Yeah. Yeah, that situation. The McMurphy report last night was... well, I guess he dispelled that. That was the one thing that did come out, that there has not been an ultimatum.
I think, though, that might be language. I will say this. I think an ultimatum was a media creation of a word. I do think Ole Miss gave him, like, a deadline to make a decision, but I don't know if it's, like, an ultimatum, because the problem is, if you say it's an ultimatum, it's like, or else what? And I don't know if Ole Miss has a great answer to that.
All right. So I am fascinated to know how Ole Miss fans are feeling right now. Am I wrong in saying this is the best year in school history?
It is the best year since the integration of the SEC.
Okay. You've got rivalry game next week. I don't want to say you're a lock for the playoff. If you lose to Mississippi State, I think they could be out.
See, I think Oklahoma's win last week. I think at this point they are in, and I think that they are playing only for a home game.
I think things could get pretty weird. There are a lot of scenarios where things get weird, and that leads into my worry about Notre Dame, because Notre Dame won by essentially four touchdowns, but Pat Narduzzi in the meaningless game called a timeout with 5 seconds to go to score a touchdown because the game meant nothing, right?
It's not his fault. He's Italian.
But they're going to drop in the rankings because Oklahoma's going to jump over them, as they should, and Alabama's not going to drop behind them. So it does make things a little weird.
But this is the problem with the Ole Miss. This is part of the reason why I think Ole Miss is a lock. If the worst
Oklahoma win helps them.
The worst they can finish is 10-2. The best Oklahoma can finish is 10-2, and then they would have a head-to-head. The best that Texas can finish is 9-3. I guess you could say you could get into some weirdness with...
I think Texas is in a world of trouble.
I guess this is how I kind of viewed it, and I don't know if this will play out, but I think if you get beat by 25... you should just be done. Like, we're just not considering as a three-loss team.
Look, here's the thing about Texas, and I get it. They could beat A&M, which could be the best win of the regular season in theory. You lost to Florida. Like, and I get it. It was before Sunbelt Billy got fired. You lost to Florida. You needed overtime to beat Mississippi State.
And Kentucky.
You needed overtime to beat Kentucky. Like, yes, you dominated Oklahoma, and honestly, you kind of dominated Vanderbilt for majority of that game, even though they had a chance to get an onside kick and make that thing really weird. I have a hard time envisioning Texas jumping Notre Dame, jumping, like, I guess what Texas fans would say is, well, we beat A&M, and you didn't. Okay. But
well, I guess what Texas
fans... And then there's the Miami thing, too. Like, I still think Miami, look, this is my reason for heartburn. In the initial unveiling, Miami was not playing good football, and they were 8 spots behind Notre Dame, which led to everyone losing their minds. Slowly but surely, that gap is closing, right? And if they end up being next to each other, and let's say Miami dominates Pitt in the final game of the season at Pitt, then you've got a lot of commonalities between Notre Dame and Miami and the head-to-head. I think there's a scenario Miami jumps Notre Dame at the end of the season. It's unlikely, but I think there's a scenario.
I think it's in play. I think the problem, though, is, so let's see. Miami also has, who does Miami have this week? I know they obviously close with Pitt next week, but they have
Miami plays Virginia Tech this week.
Okay, Va Tech in Blacksburg.
Right. Well, because remember, they play Enter Sandman, when you come into that game. It's really terrifying, right? And they win a lot of football. Oh, wait, no, they don't. So if you break it down, the Notre Dame-Miami worry for me is this. They have a common opponent in NC State. Both play them at home. Miami beat them by 34. Notre Dame beat them by 29. They have the Stanford common opponent. Notre Dame plays Stanford to wrap up the season. Notre Dame plays Syracuse on Saturday. That's a common opponent. And then the Pitt game. And obviously they played each other. Like, I still think Notre Dame ends up ahead of them, but I think there's some wackiness. And I think the Oklahoma result makes a lot of people, for those fan bases, a little bit uneasy. Because Oklahoma, now, it would be the most college football thing in the world if Oklahoma loses to Missouri this weekend. And then they're just...
Or to LSU. And I do think that this is the reality. Oklahoma's defense is elite. I don't think there's really denying that right now. But their offense is going to keep almost everybody they play in the game.
Yes. I mean, did you see the post-game... Did you see this... I don't know how much you talked about the Oklahoma game yesterday.
Not much.
Did you see... Well, first off, the post-game win expectancy.
Yeah, I had Alabama minus 5.5, so I saw all of it.
Yeah. The
94.5%.
Yeah. Yeah. 4.8% post-game win expectancy for...
So 94.2 for Alabama.
Oklahoma.
I'm sorry, 95.2. I beg your pardon.
Yeah. These were the Oklahoma scoring drives. 23 yards, pick six, 31 yards, 41 yards, 22 yards.
No, and I want to be clear...
Their defense is the real deal, man. It is really good.
I don't think some of their turnovers are luck. Like, I think a lot of, like, the pick six was a, listen, I have no problem spelling it out there. When everyone was mad at Connor Stallions, apparently the greatest sign-stealing operation in all of college football has forever and always been wherever Brent Venables is. And he... Like, they're very good at stealing your signs, and they jump RPOs, and we've seen that. It was the pick six was a similar play to, speaking of Lane Kiffin, remember when Lane was trolling Hugh Freeze earlier this year and said, I popped the tape in and texted Hugh, you might want to change your signs, because I think those safeties were not playing that play honestly. They were jumping the route. They knew what was going to happen. I think you might want to change your signs. I think the same thing happened on the Alabama play. And so they're very good at forcing turnovers that I don't think are just like fumble luck. And then you run into this spot, though, where you win the turnover margin. What was it? Was it 3-0 or 3-1? I can't remember.
I thought it was 3-1.
Mateer did not turn it over. I couldn't remember if they had a fumble. Mateer had a pass that could have been a pick six, but the linebacker dropped it. And that was really the only time they put the ball in jeopardy. I don't think they had a fumble.
Yeah, no turnovers.
Okay, so you win the turnover margin 3-0, and that was still that game still largely came down to a poorly executed field goal attempt at the end of the first half. Like that, to me, that team is a very good team, but they play with fire because their offense is not good enough to just sit there and go, all right, our defense can handle this.
Also, very underrated is that Oklahoma's kicker is the next Brandon Aubrey. That dude is nails. Like, he comes out, he's like, 52-yarder. It just looks like the most perfect kick ever.
Let's go with Jake Moody. Brandon Aubrey is something I've never seen before.
He's a machine.
The guy...
You know what makes me so mad? Sorry, Notre Dame fan again here. That he didn't play football at Notre Dame. He was a soccer player. Like, we couldn't have got to enjoy the fruits of the greatest kicker maybe ever.
I mean, I don't think... George, look it up. I don't think... Did Aubrey go to college? I know he was an MLS soccer player.
Notre Dame.
Oh, Aubrey? I thought Aubrey was just like a high school... Like, he signed out of high school.
No, he played high school... He played college soccer at Notre Dame.
At Notre Dame. I thought you meant the kid at Oklahoma. I was like, I thought that kid was a D2 kid.
No.
Aubrey is something completely different. Is he the greatest kicker of all time? I don't know, but he is the first kicker I can ever remember that's must watch. When the guy just casually goes out and like looks like he's barely moving his leg and the ball goes 65 yards in between the uprights, like I've never seen anything like that.
I mean, last night he hit like a 50-yarder like it was an extra point. I think he actually hit an extra point that was 50 yards too, because there was, I think they
scored. Yeah, it was the Pickens.
Unsportsmanlike.
It was the Pickens, yeah.
Classic.
I think it was only 48, please, when they backed it up.
That's child's work.
Yeah.
If this tells you guys anything, because I was curious, it was like, how was he at soccer? What position? He played center back.
No, center back. I thought, yeah.
He was a center back, but in 76 appearances at Notre Dame, he had 15 goals. Center backs don't do that. That's not
normal.
Oh,
I'll tell you who I'm mixing up. Bates, I think, was another.
Jake Bates.
I think he was another MLS kid that went.
I thought he played at.
Or maybe another soccer kid that didn't play. Neither one of them played football until they got. Like, they both, I think, did like. One did XFL, one did USFL or UFL.
I know Jake Bates played for Michigan, the Panthers. He played college soccer at Central Arkansas.
Of course.
And then he went to Texas State where he only did kickoffs.
Okay.
By the way, I'm also looking this up right now. Chris Boswell, who probably is the second or third best kicker, right? His last year in college, he was 14 of 21 on field goals and missed two extra points at Rice. And now he's, what did Tomlin call him? An assassin?
Yeah, or a psychopath or something like that, like a psychopathic assassin.
He's got a big old head. I could see him at
whenever
Rice.
Whenever I hear like that, I just wonder, like, at Rice, did they not, like, run field goal protection? And
probably
so,
not.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. His stats were probably way worse than his ability. I always wonder, like, on those kind of guys. Because I do think that's another important part. The kicker yelling at the deep snapper, which, by the way, that might be the new definition of courage. Because that kicker is the most kickery-looking kicker I've ever seen. And he's going at the deep snapper, who's not, like, middle linebacker, but he's significantly bigger, and he was yelling at him.
The Alabama kicker?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's still the bigger problem was the, like, I don't know, I couldn't tell if he was yelling at him about the snap or the fact that he didn't raise up, because the other problem was the, what's the guy's name, Wine? He just jumped over, so you're allowed to jump over the center.
Yes, as long as you don't.
If you don't
contact.
If you don't touch him, but also you're not allowed to take a free run. He had to stay. So he stood right in front of the deep snapper, and he just was stationary. So he hopped over him, and so I couldn't tell if he was mad that he didn't raise up and make contact, or if he was mad at the snap and hold. It was still like, even though the guy got a hand on it, he hit a duck hook.
Yeah.
I don't know. I still think so. To your point, here's how I've looked at it. I think it's going to be really hard, even if Ole Miss loses next week. Now, could the committee say, like, in a disaster, Ole Miss loses next week, and then Kiffin announces he's leaving, and then the committee says, well, we have a terrible loss. We've got all these teams that are together, and we're going to hold that against you? Maybe. I also think that they're going to get
Jordan Travis.
Yeah, like I think it kind of is going to get smoothed out to some degree.
Things do tend to work themselves out, as we've seen for years. So I am a bit like on edge a little bit about the possibility, and it feels like the public discussion about the head-to-head is getting brought up a lot between those two. But yeah, back to Ole Miss. I mean, their metrics are pretty good. I'm looking at Sagarin right now. They're 11th in Sagarin, 27th in strength of schedule, 3 wins over top 30 teams. This is Sagarin, so you know FPI is a little bit different. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's. I think Ole Miss is in decent shape, but if they lose that game to Mississippi State, it gets a little uncomfortable.
I know it's every Ole Miss fan's fear, and to answer your question, how are Ole Miss fans feeling? To sit there and go every single person feels the same is insane. I think what is fair to say, though, is they have some scar tissue from the flirtation in 2022, and that's crept up again. But I think what most people would say their biggest problem with it is it feels like you're now making a mockery of us. Like, they had a great atmosphere on Saturday night. Honestly, I've had some people say it was the best that's been in the stadium. And he's asked about it after the game. He's like, well, did you see last week against the Citadel? And I think it was an attempt at a joke. It was poorly planned. But, like, he spent the whole day, like, Kiffin2026 on Twitter and just kind of, like, poking his own fan base on a day where he could have, like, celebrated the program and celebrated a big day. And so I think that has irritated them. With that said, if I told every Ole Miss fan he's coming back next year, they would look down and be like, okay. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh, for sure. And it's, correct me if I'm wrong, it has nothing to do with money, right? Ole Miss is willing to match whatever is offered, essentially?
Yes, I do not. I saw some people yesterday that were saying, well, it's just Ole Miss is going to get within the ballpark that the number is not going to matter. Ole Miss runs into some complications. Like, if it ends up being like a who offers more guaranteed money, Mississippi has this weird law that they're only allowed to offer four-year contracts. Now, you can kind of have, like, automatic rollovers in it, but where you could tell me the money gets different is not on a yearly basis, but someone could offer a bigger contract with more guaranteed money for more years. But in terms of the how much he gets paid per year, that would be pretty much the exact same.
What's your gut feel on this one?
My gut feeling is I think he wants to leave, but I think he knows he probably can't.
You can't. I mean, we'll see it. It's going to happen at some point that a coach is going to leave before his team plays a playoff game. I have a hard time envisioning.
I'll tell you what's weird. I'll tell you what's weird. The local beat writers that are covering it from their own team, I think more collectively think he's leaving, but the national people, and I'm not talking about just like guys like you and me, and I'm not national, but you know what I mean? Like the guys that like are sourced, they tend to think that this is still kind of a CAA agency Sexton leverage play of keeping. He is the most significant name of this entire cycle and keeping that in play as long as possible so that everyone can make as much money as possible. A la Saban retires, Florida State thinks that they're losing Mike Norvell and they hand him $78 million or something like that. DeBoer gets paid. Sark got paid. Lanning got paid. Like, that's kind of where what I think is interesting of a disconnect, because on the one hand, I know the guys that are reporting, and I think that they're really good reporters, the local guys. On the other hand, I think sometimes you can get so wrapped up into covering the search that you lose kind of the 35,000 foot view, if that makes any sense.
No, it makes a lot of sense. And, you know, this coaching carousel. So we had the first domino fall yesterday, right? Virginia Tech takes James Franklin, which I think, to me, A, is a good hire. We can get into that later if you want. B, I do wonder if Shane Beamer's like, crap.
So I feel...
I don't think he's getting fired this year,
no.
But could you be surprised?
So,
would you be surprised if Beamer ball is gone next year?
I have been told by somebody that I think knows Shane was never taking the Virginia Tech job as long as Whit Babcock was still the AD, and it felt like Babcock survived that. You know what I mean? Like, I think a lot of people thought Babcock was going to get fired, but it seems like he managed to keep everybody happy enough, because Shane believes that Babcock forced Frank out. Probably he thinks that Frank really wanted to, like, Frank loves NASCAR, and he, remember they played that Bristol game? And he was like, it was really important to him to coach that game, and they forced him out a year early. And Shane holds that against him. I will say this. I think there was enough of a push to get a no from Shane before they really moved on. Like, I mean, I think the Franklin thing has been going on for probably 3 or 4 weeks, if not more.
I think Franklin's a better hire.
I don't have a problem with that. I think what was interesting to me is, can we say James Franklin taking Virginia Tech has any, does that tell us anything about the other jobs? Like, does that tell us that Florida State's not going to fire Mike Norvell? Does that tell us that Arkansas?
I think James Franklin is a very calculated person, and I think he realized he has great ties to the DMV, the DC area, coaching at Maryland
and the Tidewater
State. And now you're at Virginia Tech, where they're so desperate. Like, everyone's like, "Whoa, 4-21 against the top 10." I was like, "Okay."
By the way, do Ohio State
124 against everybody else?
Do Ohio State and Michigan play in the ACC?
Ask yourself a question right now to answer that question. How many ACC teams are currently top 10?
That would be goose egg.
That would be zero. So, okay, you have to play Notre Dame every other year or whatever the deal is. I just think if you're James Franklin, it's easier to win at Virginia Tech. And guess what? I don't really know the offset situation. I think it's like $9 million or something
I was surprised
by that. I thought he would take less money and kind of stick it to Penn State more.
So what my read on that was, because I agreed with you, when I first saw that $9 million, I was like, huh, that's a good deal for Penn State. I always go back to, do you remember when Bielema got fired from Arkansas and then he went and he was basically the defensive line coach for the Patriots, but they gave him a title that was like analyst or something, but he was really actually coaching, and he also took it at an extreme discount, and that was kind of like a stick it to Arkansas. Well, that ended up going to court, and I think what was actually ruled was you can't just sit there and announce, I'm owed all this money by someone. You have to make a good faith market offer. And so my suspicion is the plan of, okay, give James Franklin $5 million a year and then Penn State covers the rest, that was probably not tenable.
Sure.
But I was wondering, does that signal anything else?
I don't think Norvell's getting fired.
They haven't lost to Florida yet.
Fickell isn't getting fired.
I feel good about that one. I agree.
Locksley isn't getting fired at Maryland.
Oh, well, that was the other thing about Franklin. Do you know who is on Virginia Tech's non-conference schedule?
Is Maryland on there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
And do you know what the other scuttlebutt was on the internet?
What was that?
James Franklin's going to get Malik.
I can see that. I can definitely see that.
Like one last just, hey, Locksley, how's that taste?
I could 100% see that. I do not see. I hope. I like Mike Locksley. I've interviewed him a couple times. I know people who know him. I think he's a good dude. But Malik Underwood is
Washington.
Malik Washington, excuse me.
Bryce Underwood, Malik Washington, yeah.
Is too good for Maryland.
Well, I could also see this where Franklin thinks he's getting him right now, and then someone just throws the Carson Beck offer.
Well, how about the news today about Sam Levitt?
Yes, that he is now sitting out the rest of the season. Although I thought he was out for the season anyway.
I think he is.
But now the news, for those that don't know, essentially Levitt's camp has told Arizona State that they're not going back and they're soliciting the highest offer.
Also, is that an indicator about Kenny Dillingham?
So it's fascinating because I have told Ole Miss people, if Lane does leave, all right, you had $15 million that you were going to have, take $12 million and go throw it at Kenny. And make him say no. Now, here's the problem. Kenny's not only an ASU grad, he is from Phoenix, Scottsdale. His wife is from Phoenix, Scottsdale. You and I kind of know this, and I think sometimes it gets left out of these things, but even if you have a ton of money, it is kind of nice having your parents around, especially if you've got a young family. Like, you know what I mean? It makes everything a lot easier, and if they're paying them super well, and it's like...
It's also one of those things, too, and I know coaches are a little bit wired differently, but like Clark Lee at Vanderbilt and Kenny Dillingham at Arizona State, not only is it their alma maters, they've gotten those two programs to levels. I know Arizona had their run in the late 90s with Jake Plummer, but like...
I've always made the joke. Arizona State's been a sleeping giant my entire life. I'm sick of hearing about it.
It always is because, oh, you know, they have low academic standards and really hot girls go there. And
you know, it's a party school, right?
It's party school. You know, it was number one in Playboy. Did you know that?
You know, it's not great for football? Partying. You know what's great for us? Partying.
Yeah. I want to go to Arizona State. But, like, they're going to... It feels like they're going to build a statue for Kenny Dillingham and Clark Lee. Like, do I really need to go to the next job where, I mean, we just saw what happened with Brian Kelly. I mean, it wasn't catastrophic down at LSU. It just wasn't what the previous coaches did, which was win national championships.
No, I mean, he had a Heisman Trophy winner. He won the division back when they still had divisions. He beat Nick Saban. And... But, like, in the end, it kind of came down to they pushed all their chips in on this year, and they came up short, and somebody was going to pay the price. And then, you know, you all obviously had – like, that's the thing. If you're not going to be popular with your own people, you better win at an extraordinary level.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, Brian Kelly, not the most likable fella.
No, I mean, I laughed when there was, I don't know if I told you this, someone dug up that Kelly went to like a DC, you know, what are those, the firms that work on your image?
Oh, the PR firms?
It's more than a PR firm, though. It's like a, they'll always use the blanket term consulting, but it's like, basically it is...
Like image rehab. What
was
deal.
Was it Ides of March? What was the movie where Clooney's like trying to, or maybe it was Gosling, was trying
up
to
up in the air, Ocean's 11.
No. But it's like they're basically these DC operatives that work on crafting the image and making yourself appear like likable and whatnot. And my thing is like. Okay, maybe the only aspect, and like they're using that as like a negative. The only thing that I would say is a little unique and odd about that is normally your agency does that for you. Like, do I think CAA might have had a large role in that E60 documentary on Lane Kiffin? Yes, I do. Like, usually your agency handles it, but like, I don't know, what if... I don't even know where Trace Armstrong is. I don't know if he's not William Morris, but he's another one of the super agents. Like, if you told me that he was the one that hired the firm and did it, like, fine. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that happens fairly frequently. But, like, I guess the other thing that I keep thinking about, like, along these lines of, other than Kiffin, this cycle seems incredibly quiet.
So far, yeah. It's incredibly quiet for the amount of jobs that are open. Like, all these jobs, like,
and the level of job that is open.
And, like, when do we start hearing about it? Like, we've heard whispers here and there. Like, ooh, Jed Fish, he could go to Florida. Okay, maybe. But is it another situation where Jed Fish is just going to play this up and get more money and stay in Washington? His family doesn't live there.
Same thing with like Drinkwitz. Like, a lot of people say Drinkwitz, but then, you know, they're the family and everyone's like insisting that they're staying. But like, that seems to be this differentiator. It's like, should we maybe put more stock into coach that could Like, I think if Drinkwitz wanted an extension, it could be signed. If Lane Kiffin wanted an extension, it could be signed. If Clark Lee wanted an extension, it could be signed.
I think that's the tell to me about, like, Drink. Lane is a little different because it's just louder. But, like, why hasn't Missouri come out with the extension for Drink yet? Because he's probably going to leave, right? Who are the people who've gotten the extension so far? Elko?
Cignetti,
and there was one more.
Lashley was...
That's right, Lashley got one.
Lashley was announced. I have also seen people that are familiar with it think that it might not be ironclad. But I will also say this. I don't really hear Rhett Lashley's name coming up anymore.
Well, it was only Arkansas.
I think really, Auburn right? would have kicked the tires. The problem he's still a little too connected to Gus, but there's also a problem that Auburn has, which is like, do you miss him?
Is Summerall like signed, sealed, delivered to Auburn?
Well, that's another issue with the whole Ole Miss timeline. Summerall also coached at Ole Miss, and whether or not his agent spin or whatnot, there's the possibility if both were offered, he would take Ole Miss.
That could be the situation where you see a coach not coach in the playoffs. I could see Summerall bolting. Tulane's got a legit shot at making the playoff here.
Oh, I would actually favor them.
Well,
what can we get odds-wise?
Plus 550?
I might bet that.
Yeah. I actually did a whole thing on it on my podcast yesterday, being like, I think Tulane's got the best shot. They have a Power 4 win over Duke. They have a
and Northwestern. You put some respect
right,
on Northwestern's
right.
name.
My apologies, the Purple Cats. That is true. I mean, if they go to Denton, they're going to be at worst. I don't know.
Well, that's the other thing. I don't even know if they're going to have to go to Denton.
So
they're both going to be 7-1, and I think Tulane is much more likely to be ranked than North Texas.
It's all based off of the ranking. So I actually talked to someone in the American yesterday about it. This is the crazy thing. So right now in the American, there are 4 1-loss teams, right? East Carolina, I think, loses this weekend at UTSA, but regardless. The ultimate tiebreaker for the American, you probably know this, is the college football playoff rankings.
Yep.
If two American teams are in the college football playoff rankings and there's a 4-way tie, those two teams go. So Navy is hoping desperately that somehow they get ranked. Because the computers don't like Navy. So if it goes to the computers, so for example, let's say North Texas is ranked tonight and then Tulane, East Carolina, Navy are not, and they stay unranked. Those three, North Texas would be in, and then those three, there's like four different computers, and they pull all those together, and whoever spits out the highest ends up getting the spot. It is really dumb.
I think they can also ask the committee who would be ranked the highest. If they were, like, if neither's ranked, there, I think they can also ask the committee, like, okay, who would be ranked? Because the committee technically has to keep ranking, even if they only release the top 25, they have to keep ranking until they get to the G5 team. They could ask who's ranked highest.
Yeah, from what I was told, it was going to come down to the computer rankings. I could also see the committee just being like, let's throw in Tulane at 25 to end the regular season.
Wouldn't shock me at all.
No.
All right, let's recap the week. We got our weekly awards coming up next right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM. Yes.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
All right, Tim. Week 12, the weekly awards. Who was your team of the week?
I guess it's got to be Oklahoma.
See, I went with Georgia, but I understand.
That was my runner-up.
Going on the road, I do. I if you want to say that, that's fine with me.
I mean, it was do or die, right? I mean, the season's not
one
over.
Team was a 6-point favorite. The other team was a 6-point underdog. I'm fine with that.
And look, we talked about it already. Did they, air quotes, deserve to win? Probably not, right? They got outgained. The post-game win expectancy of less than 5%. But you went on the road. You beat Alabama. They had the ball late in the game, and they weren't able to do anything. You know, so I'll give it to them because here's the thing. And you know, they went all in this year, spending the money to get Arbuckle, spending the money to get Mateer, and then now they've got two games, and they've got a chance to two games at home, and they're going to the playoff. I mean, it's funny to think, Jeffrey, when we saw the season, the schedule early on in the season, it was like, good luck with that schedule. And now... Yeah,
they might be good at 7-5. Like, they might be a much improved team and go 7-5.
Exactly, right? It's like, could they be one of those teams that are better, but the record doesn't show it? Now you're 8-2 and you're facing Missouri with more than likely a backup quarterback and a fired head coach in LSU. So I'll give it to Oklahoma, but I definitely was very impressed by Georgia.
I'm giving it to Georgia for a couple of reasons. Number one, I'm wondering if they flipped a switch, and I think maybe the way that they beat Mississippi State wasn't going to raise too many eyebrows, particularly given how many injuries Mississippi State has had as of late. But the fact that I don't know how you felt watching that game, but the way that I felt was 35-10 felt like about as close as it could have been, because Texas's first drive that they go and get a field goal was they moved the ball decently well, but it was like from that point forward, even on their touchdown drive, they got the short field with the interception. They needed the pass interference call, which I'm not saying was a bad call, but like it was greatly aided by penalty. They could not move the ball at any point during the night. And I think the other part of it for me is I know we probably say people are dead too soon, but it's like that felt like a kill shot for Texas last night. And I was finally just be glad to be done with them.
They were kind of the zombie team, like, well, you know, they've got the Oklahoma win and they've got the Vandy win.
And they have so much talent that you could talk yourself. It wasn't that insane to think, like, okay, if they went and won at Georgia and then they won at A&M or they beat A&M at home, like, that's not that insane given the level of talent that they have.
No. And look, there are some teams where you feel like you've got a good pulse on them from betting, and then there are teams like Duke where you have terrible bet feels on them. I feel like I've done a pretty good job of recognizing the spots for Texas this year, and the roller coaster with this Texas team is kind of hilarious because in week one, they were the favorite against Ohio State. I think they ended up closing the underdog at the end. There was late money on Ohio State. But then everybody was out on them going into Red River. And I think we talked about on the show, like, you do realize Mateer's thumb is broken and their offense stinks, right? And then the Vanderbilt game I thought was a buy-low opportunity. I didn't touch it last week, and I'm glad I didn't because I was leaning a little bit towards Texas. The market liked them. Georgia's been one of those teams where all year I'm like, are they really good? I don't know. Are they good? And now I'm like, yeah, they're pretty legit, man. So they've got Charlotte this week. Have you seen the stat about Kirby?
Yeah, Kirby, when favored by 38.5 or more, I believe he is 0-13 against the spread, and currently the number is 44.5. I will say this, for everyone that does believe it's free money, the ultimate unstoppable force versus the immovable object is going to be Charlotte trying to cover 44.5.
You just know it's going to be.
I mean, it is going to be.
You know it's going to be 45-0. The third stringers are going to be in there, and you're just going to be begging for, who's it, Tim Albin?
Yes.
To kick a field goal late in the game.
You're
going to
need
the cover.
You're going to want that UMass field goal that we had last week, where UMass was, what were they down, 45-0, and they kicked the field goal and had the fireworks show?
Yes, yeah.
That was.
By the way, UMass, by the way, a 33-point underdog tonight to Ohio.
All right, let's see. Here are the last Charlotte games. 24-7 to Army, 49-14, that's stay inside the number, to Temple, 54-20 to North Texas, 48-22 at ECU, 28-7 UTSA. Like, it is that classic, can you give me a touchdown?
Because that's all you need. If they score a touchdown, they cover.
Because I think you're in that spot with Georgia where you've got Georgia Tech next week and basically just the playoff. Like, and you've just had this grinder, like, this feels like get the second team out there as fast as possible.
Discussion for another day because we have to go through these awards. Georgia fans would much rather be the number 5 seed than the 4, right?
I think that's very much the case.
You'd rather have a home game against North Texas than play the SEC championship game against A&M.
Well, and I think also, like, yes, it's not apples to apples, but I think Georgia fans, they know obviously the Beck injury was a significant part of it, but I think, like, you know, the layoff and then Notre Dame came in and was much crisper. Like, I do think that there's probably some, I'd rather play that 12 seed than have another SEC championship. All right,
who's a home game?
Yeah, and the home, and I think that's a huge part. Fans, I think fans saw last year how cool it was to have the home game, and I think everybody wanted to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, who was your Heisman winner last week?
I mean, we got to be consensus on this one, right? Ahmad Hardy.
So the only other option I was willing to listen to was, I thought Kiwon Lacy.
He was right. Yeah, really good.
Because I do think Florida's defense is better than what Mississippi State's trotting out there right now.
Mississippi State's defense is.
But you put up 3 bills. It's kind of tough to sit there and go, that guy didn't win the week.
I mean, I was sitting there. I had it on the thankful quad box prayer emoji. And I'm like, does that say 300 yards?
And it was only on like 25 carries.
Just every time I look up, he's sprinting down the field. Like,
I will say
God,
this.
Man.
I know Ole Miss fans are scared to death of that game next week. Part of why I feel okay for Ole Miss is Kiwon Lacy's going to be able to have a good day. And for the record, the reason why Kiwon Lacy's at Ole Miss is because Ahmad Hardy is still at Missouri.
That dude, man. To think about, he was in the Sun Belt last year.
Woo, doggies.
Yeah.
Talk about an unfair fight. All right, do you have a dumpster fire of the week? Because I'm unclear
Louisiana Tech's quarterback position?
It's pretty bad.
They played 5 quarterbacks. They had 5 different dudes throwing the football. Louisiana Tech, by the way, lost their starting quarterback the week prior, and they went out to the Palouse because, of course, and It was one of those games where I wish I bet more on Washington State.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. All right. This might be preemptive, and this might be early, but I'm fine with that. I'm flagging UCF. They did the whole quietly. Remember, like, they announced that Frost was getting the job again, like, on a Sunday. It felt like they were, like, sneaking it in, and they didn't make, like, a school that will make the biggest deal out of anything, not making a big deal out of that was interesting. And I'm not sure this is going to go well.
Not off to a good start. Not up to a good start. They did beat North Carolina, though.
So. They did beat North Carolina, and they do also have they get Oklahoma State this week.
Which, by the way, you know Kansas State was outgained by Oklahoma State. Maybe they're the dumpster fire. You won, but you were outgained by Oklahoma State.
It was like 13-7.
Ugh, 14-6. Ugh.
All right. Most college football moment of the week.
Oh, the ice-cold handshake.
With Belichick?
There's multiple.
All right, so
there was Belichick and Dickert at Wake Forest and UNC.
After Dickert took off his hat as a sign of respect, although he did punch it in late.
Yeah, Belichick called a timeout.
I'm with you.
What did you expect him to do?
I'm with you.
But Narduzzi and Freeman. Freeman went up, gave him the handshake, and Narduzzi like went in for the bro hug, and Freeman pulled away and just walked away from him. It's like, I got places to be, man.
He was ready to go celebrate.
Yep.
I also thought about the overzealous cop at Texas A&M. Like, that one. But I think I've got to go with the SEC on ABC going full SEC on CBS and finding that young brunette and just focusing in on her.
I missed this moment.
Oh, yeah. So the SEC on CBS was notorious for, like, basically every crowd shot was just finding like every nine they could in the crowd.
Oh, and, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and it felt like this girl's like now going viral. She has like an Instagram handle like it's Bailey Bay or something like that. Like
What school?
Georgia. She was rooting for the Dogs. Let's just say there were a lot of puppies involved. She did not need any floaties.
Hello.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a good one. Night just to like have the old SEC on CBS vibes. Could have also gone with the Utah State kicker.
Oh God, boy. That poor guy.
That was tough.
For those who missed that, he missed an extra. So coming into the game, he was perfect on the year on field goals. He missed an extra point, missed a field goal in regulation, missed the field goal that would have won the game at end of regulation, and then missed another field goal at the end of the first overtime.
Correct. Didn't nail the second overtime one.
Crushed that one, and then first play UNLV scored a touchdown.
Yep. That one was tough.
That was a pretty. I just thought about Matthew Berry. He always opens up. College kicker situation. Yeah, uh-huh. That was a college kicker situation.
All right. Is there anyone that you want to say stock up?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.